You're listening to the Sound Girls podcast with Becky and Susan from Orlando, Florida. This episode features an interview with recording engineer Fela Davis. Fela is a co-owner of 23DB Productions and one of one production studio based out of Fort Lee, New Jersey. Their mobile recording clients include Atlantic Records, Live Nation, Sirius XM Radio, and more. She is a graduate of Full Sail University with nearly 20 years of experience in audio engineering. Her past experiences include working with industry powerhouses Claire Broadcast and House of Blues. When she's not recording podcasts and bands at her one-of-one production studio, she's mixing front of house engineer for the six-time Grammy Award-winning jazz artist Christian McBride. Listen to Fela on the audio production and interview podcast, The Art of Music Tech, that she co-hosts with her 23DB business partner, Dennis. I didn't check that one. Oren Beckham. Thank you. I didn't vet that one. Anyway, that, you can hear their podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. So welcome, Fela.
Hello, welcome, Susan, Becky. Thank you for having me on.
We're excited.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on. This is awesome.
All right.
So, cool. Fela, I saw you actually at Full Sail last year when you were inducted into their Hall of Fame.
Oh, that was just a few months ago.
Yeah. And then the weekend, it wasn't even last year. Oh my God, it was this year.
Yeah.
This year has been like 3 years long already.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that was a year and a half ago you saw me.
Yeah. Oh my God. You were here on campus.
Yeah, I was. The next day, we went on lockdown. So yeah. We like squeezed that in and then boom, everything was over with. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Like as soon as Hall of Fame finished, I classed on Saturday, and on that Friday before is when they announced like we were closing down. And so we were all like, oh no. how was that for you? What did you end up doing? Because after you left, pretty much everyone went into...
Yeah. I came back to Jersey, to Fort Lee, and about a week and a half later, we were fully shut down, the podcast studio that we have. By like the 30th, they were like really pushing on businesses to shut down as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much, we just kind of started doing a lot of stuff online and doing stuff through Zoom, this other platform called StreamYard, where we get to live stream for clients. And it's pretty cool because you get to be very creative with that platform. Mm-hmm. You can pin in intros and outros and, you can pin in pictures. And it just makes it very easy. You can also go to private Facebook groups.
Oh,
so
cool.
It doesn't have to be like super public when you're live streaming, but you know, great content for the group that you're presenting to in a different way than Zoom, because it's not as private as Zoom is. So, you know,
that's cool.
So have you felt like you're finding more information for podcasts and other ways to do things since all the COVID stuff started? Like, have you had to pivot a lot?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the clients went to doing it online, and we would record it through either, StreamYard or Zoom, because they also wanted, like, to use the video of it.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's just more content for everything that you do, IG and all the social media platforms and stuff. So, it was a pivot for them as well, and just kind of showing them it's another way to do it. Because, I mean, out of it, we started doing a Facebook show for a realtor.
It's like
every Friday, you know. So, and now she's interviewing other realtors in around the world, you know, talking about, you know, investment properties for real estate. Yeah, it's just, you know, spreading out a lot of information for whatever you're into. Everybody should be using some platform in some way. If you're pushing to be a master at something, you really have to be known for it. You know, seeing doing it and being able to talk long form about it, not just 30-second clips about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, it's easy, you know, to make an Instagram ad or something for 20 seconds, but give somebody an hour and you can actually tell if they know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And that's kind of why you started your podcast, right? Like,
yeah,
because that's what you do. And yeah, like, let's talk about it. Let's get it out there.
Exactly. Our podcast started out as a video, video content. We were doing like 3 to 5 minute videos on the dopest people we could find, like Leslie Ann Jones. Nice. We did a great piece on her. And we got like private photos from her when she was a kid and stuff. And Jeff Bova, which he worked with Herbie Hancock and just a lot of great, you know, a lot of synth stuff, like strings. He's the just a master at that. We're doing it on software though, and it sounds like a real orchestra. It's amazing. And Christian McBride, a bunch of people that we did, a handful, like six, but it was like, you can't keep the attention span with video. And we were cutting so much great content to just shrink it down to 5 minutes, because we would be talking to them for like 45 minutes.
Right.
It was like, oh, you know what? We should probably do this podcast thing. And at the time, it was when it had just dropped in price. Like 8 years ago, you had to pay for server space.
Oh, yeah.
And it was thousands of dollars. So I was like, oh, well, that's not an option. Yeah. Especially if you had something that grew really big and it was just a lot of people downloading. So once things like, you know, Anchor and Podbean and all of these platforms came out to where it was just $14 a month, it was like, oh, okay, now this makes sense. And so we ended up taking that video and making it like a 30 to hour long conversation with other musicians and artists. We had on Patrice Rushen last year, because I toured with her with Christian McBride. And so getting to talk with her about, she sang that the Men in Black, she was the sample of the Men in Black theme song that Will Smith. She was the original. And, you know,
I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah. So she wrote on that, and, you know, that's a pretty cool publishing.
That's going to be in my head all day now. I'm going to be like, here comes Men in Black.
Exactly.
All day.
She's awesome. And she came on and, you know, getting to talk to people like that. And I never thought that I would just get to sit down for an hour and just talk tech and their approach to music, why they did certain things, how they grew up. That's how you learn about success. For me, I have to hear real stories, because then it makes it tangible. It's not just like this pie in the sky thing that I'm going for. Right. It's like, oh, how did normal people come up with massive hits?
Right.
But how does
normal everyday people?
Yeah, when you just break it down to you know, to that. How does that come about? And it's just very inspiring, you know, to hear their stories and how, you know, a lot of hard work, but the luck of, you know, coming in contact with the right people, right time, but the hard work is always there. The thousands and thousands of hours of just grinding it out on not so great gear until you can afford that good gear, you know? So
That's one of the things that I admire about you is we've been around about the same amount of time in our world, and we both graduated from Full Sail, which is funny. What year did you graduate?
2002, August 2002.
August 2001 for me. So right there.
Yeah.
So that's funny. But yeah, we've been around about the same amount of time. And I didn't know who you were, you know, for a long time. And then I started listening to podcasts, and I started hearing podcasts, and I was like, hey, I like this chick. Like, she's telling me exactly what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? You were speaking to my heart, real stories, real things. Like, dude, you have to work hard. You have to be passionate about what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know? And then to know, like, as I'm listening to your stories, you know, you're changing from what, like, you worked at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale, which I worked in once in a while. So uh-huh. I identify.
Oh, yeah, way back then. That Allen and Heath GL3200, I think.
They've switched it up. They're doing a
finally.
Whole.
Finally.
They are, right now, they are redoing that entire theater.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah.
And I'm mixed in there last year. This is the funniest thing about that theater to me. Is the front of house console is in the middle of a row.
Yeah.
So you have to walk all the way through
people
to get, it's ridiculous.
On a sold out show. No. It's like people like, hold on, let me get my drink. You know, it's like, oh.
Yeah. It's
but it's
little,
the most amazing sounding room.
For real.
I've mixed shows that I distill in my heart today. I mixed Chuck Mangione there.
Really?
And I loved it. It was such a great show. Yeah. But there and Revolution across the street, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was all up in South Florida. I was everywhere that wasn't Union.
Same. And so then you went from there to New York City.
Uh-huh.
Right? But you've moved all over chasing your dream and your career, and you kept going.
Yeah, but those were the two moves, though. It was from South Carolina, where I'm from. And which I started out in Myrtle Beach after I graduated from Full Sail, and then moved down to Florida with a friend. I had a roommate, and so it was cheap. It was a bigger city. At the time, I didn't feel comfortable just moving to New York. Now I'm thinking I should have went in the first place. But but it was a good, like, stepping stone. But I worked everywhere I could. And then once I worked everywhere there, it was like the gigs that I really wanted, those guys were either from New York or LA. And nobody was looking for engineers in Miami. You came down to Miami to party.
Right.
Like, I got my people.
Yep.
I'm just treating them to a good weekend. Like,
we travel with our crew, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very much how Miami is.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, I gotta go to where you can get the gigs. And so that was the move. And that was 11 years ago, 2 days ago. Like, it was my anniversary, of being here.
Congratulations.
In Jersey, rather. So But I can see New York City, literally. So
we were talking a little bit off air that you have one of the best views of the whole city from where you're located,
and
I'm like, it's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah,
like,
you can see the whole of the island.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's like that shot, you know, that fly-in camera shot every time you watch a movie of New York City. That's like your view.
Yeah. You know what's going down.
Yeah.
We're coming down. Yeah.
I start hearing like Alicia Keys as I'm coming across that area like, da, da, da.
Yeah, New York. Definitely.
That's my New York earworm every time I drive in.
Uh-huh.
So how did you find out about Soundgirls? How did you get involved with Soundgirls?
I found out about it pretty much, it might have been going a year. But as soon as I heard about it, I knew who Michelle was and I knew who Carrie was. Yeah. And I was like, what? They finally gotten together? You know, because we both graduated at the same time, Becky, you realize that there was no way to know who anybody was.
No.
Like, email was like, oh, you know, that was like barely going around at 2000, you know.
And even at that time, it was like, why are you going to just cold email somebody?
Exactly.
That was weird back then.
And you had to call a production company or, God forbid, a studio, a chick that didn't want to hear nothing you had to say. No, who? No, they're not here. Bye. It's like, And now with social media, you could just skip the middleman.
Yeah.
That's the best part about this whole world for me. Skipping the middleman.
Agreed.
So back then, having just getting around that, and to fast forwarding to, like, you know, 12 years later, full, you know, Facebook is full blown, LinkedIn, all of this stuff is coming in, and I randomly see somebody posted about it on Facebook. And then once I dug a little deeper and saw who the founders were, I was like, oh, I immediately emailed Michelle, and I was like, anything you need, I'm in New York. Anytime you guys have something here, please let me know. I know who both of you are. I can't believe you guys are just now knowing who each other are.
right.
I mean, because you ladies are doing, like, the biggest bands in the world. Right. Why don't we know who, why didn't you guys know each other? But now, let's go. I'm ready to go. And by this time, I was already touring and stuff. So I was just like, hey, I'm ready to, like, share the wealth and, like, let people know how to, you know, make their own way, you know, in this field. So that was how it came. I came across it, and Michelle hit me back, and then I've just been in the fold ever since.
Dude, that's super cool. That's kind of how, I mean, I don't know if you heard the podcast that we did with Michelle, but that's, yeah, I met her while I was mixing in a house here in Florida. Then she came in and told me about Sound Girls. And I did the same thing. I went on the website as soon as I got home, and I was like, what the frig, dude? What is going on? Like, like, women are doing stuff, and we're coming together. I was so in it. and I think it's because, like, for me, I don't know if you had any women in your class in college, but I had one, and I don't even know where she is. I can't even find her on Facebook. So it's like, did she survive that, you know? And when I was coming up, it was very much like, you know, here's this one woman that's working here, and you. And I had the mentality of, you know, there's a place for one of us. I'm going to work my butt off to be better than she is. Like, because there wasn't a lot of space, you know? Uh-huh. It was like, maybe you get one woman on your crew, maybe you don't, you know? And now I feel like that's changed so much.
And
maybe, you know, a lot of that is people like you that are reaching out and reaching back and saying, hey, you come with me, you know?
And, like, you know, Carrie getting the award at the Parnellis, like, it's in front of their it's not like a whispered about thing anymore. It's in front of your face, you know, like, we're here, let's go, qualified ladies are out here, you know, give us a chance, you know. We get it. Just, you know, so yeah.
You've been doing mentorships for people, right?
I do a lot of speaking, and a lot of the, you know, the Sound Girl things that I can get to, especially at NAMM every year. NAMM, AES. So I go to those conferences every year. And yeah, and tell them how important it is to go to things like this, going to these conventions, seeing what gear is out here, networking. I mean, just knowing who's out here, and we're all the geeks. We're the ones that really want to know what's going on. So not going to things like this is like, you know, you have to be out there too.
I think, like, for me right now, in the downtime that we're having, you know, being on all these Zoom calls and Skype sessions and webinars and trainings and all that, it to me is like being at AES or NAMM or one of those shows and making all these networks happen. But, you know, I don't have to wear pants.
You don't have to walk miles and miles on the floor.
You look at your phone like, oh, 22,000 steps during the first day of NAMM.
I made a mistake at one of my first conventions, and I wore, like, leather flats because they were nice.
Oh, no. Rookie mistake,
Oh, my God.
You got to bring out the tennis shoes, man.
Oh. I brought, maybe, like, even, like, several pair.
I brought nice shoes, and that was a mistake. So we went all over Vegas trying to find, like, an affordable shoe store, which is harder than you'd think. And I bought a pair of Toms.
That was.
Oh, yeah, because everything's like Gucci and Louis Vuitton.
Yeah. This is not in my budget.
Yeah. There's no Walmart on the strip. So. No.
Finally found a Tom's and I was like, okay, we can do this.
At least this. Oh, man. But yeah, I don't really do a lot of like personal mentoring per se.
You do a lot of talks though. I've seen those on online before.
Yeah. I try and put out a lot of content so that can be that.
Yeah.
Because I'm still like starting this business and, you know, with business, it's like, you know, it's,
oh, yeah.
I have to be so on. Yeah. It's like so all encompassing. I tried to put out a lot of material so you see and hear me talking about it. So, you know, I'm talking about what I'm doing. You hear it, you get the technical resources of it, but I can't personally talk to 50 people. And I mean, I do, I get a lot of personal messages, especially, you know, since, you know, going into the Hall of Fame and with Full Sail and just, I've been featured in magazines and so that brought in an international level to this. So I have like a big following in India and Africa. It's like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. So it's just like, yeah, you know, and yeah, it's been great. It's like, I didn't know that this, I wasn't sure that it could be possible at the beginning of this career. It was like, but things started to change and it came together, you know, just like at the right time. And I'm very happy with where everything is going and it's just getting better.
Do you have any advice for like our younger 20 something sound humans, you know, like you were saying, you know, you just keep going. To me, that's what I do too. You just put your head down and keep working.
But eventually it falls exhausting. Into place. But sometimes sometimes you don't want to make it anymore. And you're like, is this worth? I've been through that. And I know my students have too. Like, is it worth this? What do you suggest for pushing through that extra?
That's having faith, you know.
In yourself, right?
That, yes. Well, faith in the energy that you're putting into, it's going to come back. Whatever you're putting in, it's going to come back even more so than what you put in. But if you really look in yourself, have you really been putting in that work? Do you know who the top people are and what you do? Do they know your name? So I'm not doing enough to get in front of them yet. So I need to keep doing that to get in front of them to where we're friends.
That's good.
Yeah. That's, and kind of charting your career, thinking about, okay, am I as far as, truthfully to yourself, am I as far as I can go in this town, in this position? And if you are, you need to find somewhere else to go to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you stay in that one place and be like, oh, I'm not getting anywhere, da da da, or nothing is happening, well, then that's what's going to happen. Yeah. So you really have to. I've quit jobs.
Yeah.
I've quit jobs when I felt like, oh, it's not going to happen, but I learned a lot. It's like, oh, but I've learned what I could.
Yeah.
So a few months before I know that I'm about to make a move, I'm already like kind of on to the next.
Yeah, it's okay for things to serve their purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I could go back to every job I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, don't burn the bridge.
Yeah. And so before I get all pissed about, you know, I didn't like so-and-so, then you brought in so-and-so, like, okay, you brought in so-and-so who I'm not really feeling. So it's time for me to move on to find a place where I can learn more. It's really got to always be about learning more. It's like, okay, the money won't always be there, but am I learning something that I can take on? Like, I worked at Claire, and I was at their shop in New York, and it was fantastic. I did it for a year. I got my hands on every microphone known to man that goes out on a live show. Stuff that was out with Beyonce was out with me in Brooklyn at a $50 a night show. But I was learning how it sounded, how I like to mic it with these, you know, indie bands.
Yeah.
But they were like, wow, that mix sounded crazy. It was like, yeah, it's like $10,000 worth of mics on the stage. Like, oh, that does make a difference. Yeah. Even with a crap board it was like, oh, the source.
Right.
So putting 57s on everything, you're going to sound like every other indie rock venue. Yeah,
small club band. Yeah.
But when they see me mix, it's like, wow. So that made me feel better about what I was doing. It sounded great, but then I was like, also able to record and sell them their mix for $10. I made more money.
Nice.
And I was getting better. It made me get better.
Right.
So, I mean, and I asked my boss, I was like, hey, you know, I'm not getting paid that much. So can I use these mics when they're not being rented? He was like, yeah.
And I got to back learn and listen to those recordings. Have you ever gone back and listened to them now? And they're like, oh my God.
Oh, you know, some of them I'm like, oh, that stands up. Cause I mean, I'm on an Allen and Heath, you know, 3200, you know, board, but then it's going through 414s and 421s on Toms. And, you know, yeah. And I got like every great mic, Sennheiser 935s on vocals. There was a certain crispiness that still is undeniable compared to what I was doing with a bunch of 58s and 57s.
Right.
And that upped the value. And then I just started purchasing my own microphones after that. It was like, oh, this is why you have to have your own gear.
Right.
So whenever I showed up to mix, people knew, oh, it's going to sound totally different than your normal guy. Mm-hmm. I knew at least what I had to have to go at another level so that you'd be like, who was mixing that? Because that was totally different from that last mix I heard. So that's how, and I had faith that somebody would recognize that, and they did. So you have to put it out there what you're doing, you know, showing that you're one of the best out there. So, yeah.
And keep just chasing the dream, right?
Yeah. And make it fun for yourself in that way. Like it made it fun for me once I could like listen to these mixes with these indie bands. And I knew that they sounded so much better. Like one of my best compliments was this guy was like, my friend's band sounded like a power trio, and they are not a power trio. So thank you. Like, it was like, he knew, like, I've seen these guys all over New York City and they sound like, you know, and he was like, wow, like you had them sounding like a real band. Like what was,
that's awesome.
Yeah. But you know, it was changing my mentality of like, you know, use what's in house. Nope. Up the game. And then people see you at that level, and then they hire you at that level. So that's my advice.
I appreciate that. That's great advice. Mm-hmm. What is the best place you've mixed a show that you can think of? Like room, venue, or just the greatest night?
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of those. A few places, Parker Playhouse is one of my favorite rooms I've ever mixed. Umbria Jazz Fest was awesome.
Oh, dude.
And which I did that last year. And
did you do that with Christian?
Yeah, with Christian and Killer, because he had two DJs. It was two DJs, a bass player, well, Christian playing bass, a singer. Ron Blake from the Saturday Night Live band on sax, Allison Williams, badass R&B singer, and Patrice Rushen on synth and piano.
Oh, wow.
Just mind-blowing. And then we were opening up before Lauryn Hill.
What?
And Lauryn Hill's friend, house engineer, remembered me when I was working in South Carolina the House of Blues when I was a stagehand. He was like, you made it. And I was
yeah, dude.
So that was just like such a, like, exactly. Like, it was like, it was like, wow. And it was like, yep, we're in Italy together. We were in South Carolina 15 years ago. And then last year,
full circle moment.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Because he's also the head of audio at the Apollo. So I had seen him there when I was working. Okay. But I was like driving trucks and stuff for Claire and just dropping off gear. But, you know, it was like, I told you. That was what I was going for. So it was just cool to have that moment of like, man, and he was doing Lauryn Hill, I was doing Christian. It was just like, wow. Yeah. So that was a great moment. And that was like 10,000 people outdoor in Umbria, which I just found out Lamborghini's wine or his wine, his grapes come from Umbria, which is just beautiful.
What?
Yeah, Lamborghini, after he retired from building cars, he started a winery. He retired and started making wine. So there's Lamborghini wine, too. And it comes from Umbria. Yeah, which is like beautiful countryside in Italy.
Wow.
Like, this is what I imagined when I was, you know, a teenager wanting to do this. It was like, oh, this is all what I had in my brain.
Right.
And having that faith through these last 20 years, and I got to it. And it was just like, all right, wow. You know, so, yeah, that was a great moment. But, yeah, it's been so many amazing, because I've been, you know, all around the world with Christian, Turkey, South Africa, Japan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Japan is always awesome. Yeah, Tokyo, yeah, I did some great shows there. Yeah, just everywhere that enjoys music, which is everywhere we get. You know, I know that I know that they've been waiting for this all week or a month or months to see what I'm about to put out there. So I want them to enjoy it. You know, I want them to hear it at the best level possible, no matter where we're mixing or where I'm at, you know. And but yeah, those were some great moments, though, of like, wow, okay, this is the dream.
Dude, I love that. And being able, like, you sharing that is inspiring to me, because I'm still shooting for dreams too, you know. So it's,
oh yeah.
So in that vein, like, I'm sure you, I don't know if you do this, I write down my stuff. I know where it's, like, it's in my face, you know.
Vision and I'm looking board at it is right in the corner.
I got my vision board. You know?
So, Oh yeah. So
where's Fela going next? What are you shooting for next?
Oh,
you don't have to share if you don't want to, but you know.
Oh, I mean, really wealth and like building up the business and you know, hiring my friends and you know, being able to do, you know, do my thing that way. Yeah. Like that's the next move is really seeing where the podcast thing goes, which I mean, it's just exploding more and more, and just being one of those early pioneers, you know.
Yeah, you're right on the front end of that.
Yeah. And you know, doing, you know, helping other businesses do this as well. So that's the next move, is helping brands and businesses build their own podcasts and working with them on that. So.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you our favorite, it's becoming our favorite question right now. What is your go-to beverage? I don't know why that's our favorite question, but it is.
Go-to beverage. Sparkling water.
Ooh. All the time. First, You are the first person that's veered off the coffee train.
I am. I'm a super connoisseur of really good coffee. Like, I have to make my own, like, pour over. I'm a huge fan of that. Yeah. But yeah, I'm always about some, either coffee or sparkling water.
I love my sparkling water.
The flavored things. Sparkling water?
Yeah, I'll do that. I do like a good lemon one. You know, basic. The basic ones.
So no, like, blueberry, pomegranate?
Yeah, nah. I'll just take a lemon or lime.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
I'm the same. We had some on the bus that are like some pambleberry something. I mean, I couldn't even say the name. And I was like, what the hell is this? I'm not, you know, it's just flavored water, but it doesn't, I don't even know that fruit. Like, what is that? You know? So I'm like, I'll take the lime one. I'm good.
I know, right? Exactly. I don't want to mess my taste buds up. So.
Right? Yeah. Our other favorite question to ask people is, do you have a roadie nickname?
No, I don't. I think people love Fela so much, that name.
I was going to say, Fela's a pretty tight name.
Yeah, so people are like, oh, Fela. Yeah. And I mean, when I hit Europe, they're like, oh, Fela. So it depends on where you're at. They're like, oh, you know, so they just like saying Fela. So, you know, I like it.
I was like, I'm like, you don't need a roadie name if you got the cool name, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it is a cool name. I always loved it, but getting into the music game, people are like, Fela, you know, and they'll say it correctly. And yeah, it's nice. If people don't know, it's also a musician called Fela Kuti. And there was like a big Broadway. Actually, the year I moved here, 11 years ago, the Fela Broadway. Fela on Broadway had just started, and I got to see it right before it left Broadway. So I was like,
so everybody was like, yeah, you were blowing up.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. As soon as I got there, no money.
We were just talking to someone else, like first female roadie, and she used to live in a car. She's like talking about how you'll hear the podcast, but she's, you know, like the things us roadies do to get jobs are some of my favorite stories ever. Like sleeping in road cases and in cars, and you know, I ate ramen noodles for 6 months straight. You know, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, man, we will do what we can to. Our dream, you know, and I love that about just our industry in general. We will pound the pavement. We'll do what we can to be passionate and live our dream, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that's an artist thing, you know. Artists are like that all over.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to find your niche. Like when I got here, Craigslist was popping. Like in New York, Craigslist, like this other guy that went to Full Sail that I knew, he got a gig cleaning up digital tapes for, she's saying Killing Me Softly. Roberta Flack.
Roberta Flack, yeah.
He got a gig cleaning up tape for Roberta Flack singing Beatles songs. Because they were supposed to do an album or something. Yeah, it was supposed to like come out. And that was off of Craigslist. And I saw that ad and I was like, you got that gig? He was like, yeah, you know, I was doing, you know, so he like met Roberta Flack. Like, yeah. What? And I got the gig for Claire through Craigslist.
No way.
Yes. Like, yeah, and I had
Craigslist
interviewed.
Florida, man. It's not that way.
Yeah, Florida is not okay with that.
Oh, and I know.
Right.
Because I lived in Miami, you know, for 4 years. So I know what you're saying. But but yeah, Craigslist, New York. And I haven't really been on it because I haven't needed that kind of like gritty gig because you could find that cash. Hey, yeah. Come over. I got a wedding reception. You got two speakers. Yep. Like, you know, like, you know, you can find those like really gritty jobs. And Indeed, and like, you know, like looking through all of these, you know, seeing what's open. I remember looking for podcast jobs like 6 years ago and you couldn't find it. And then like 3 years ago, this is when I knew it was going to explode. I saw like Vogue was looking for a podcast engineer. It was like, no experience needed. It was like, really, it was just like anybody that could record. It was like, you could work for Vogue doing their podcast. And it was like, nothing needed. It wasn't like, oh, well, you got to have 12 years. It was like 6 to 12 months of audio or something. It was like, and you could work for one of the biggest fashion magazines in the world.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. This is the new, like, easy gig to kind of get if you're, like, fresh out of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why I've been kind of preaching it to kids. Like, look, I know you want the music thing, but in between, you know, because I've done that too. I'll do the AV gig in between tours and not really having anything going on. You do that on the side.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to be flexible in just knowing all types of audio, whether it's live, studio, whatever, be able to do both, you know, and you'll have more gigs.
Well, that's kind of the vision Susan and I have for this podcast too, is, you know, we're going to get back to work here. She's still working, but I'm going to get back to work soon. We're not going to be able to do this. You know, we want to hand this off to a sound girl or a couple sound girls. You take the podcast next year and run with it. You know, let's keep handing things off. Let's give it to someone else, you know.
Yeah.
That might be your foot in the door, you know. Like, but hey, if we can get it started, get the ball rolling for you. Here you go.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm hoping someone takes it and does 10 times better than we are doing it, because I'm not a podcast person. But, you know, this is what we do, right? So let's.
Yeah.
We may as well.
Continue telling the story so that, you know, people that even think about doing this 10 years from now can listen to this, you know, is it with easy access, you know, unlike what we had 20 years ago, you know, so it was like, oh man, how do you even find somebody, you know, somebody, it was such a guessing game. So
very much.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I think that's our time. So thank you so much. Right. Fela.
Thank you, Fela.
Thank you.
Love you, man.
Love you guys too. Sound girls forever in my heart. And I'm going to be forever working with them. And I look forward to the future of this whole podcast. And I'm sure we'll all be doing it more and more. And, you know, it'll be going on forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, we have something exciting to tell you all about. The Sound Girls annual scholarships are now open and will close July 31st for applications. So get your applications in. You only have till the end of July. There is two $500 scholarships in honor of Ethel Gabriel. Sound Girls will be awarding these two $500 scholarships to members pursuing a career in the recording arts. These scholarships will be awarded in August and can be used for educational training and university programs. The scholarships are open to all members of Sound Girls, including international students. There are also four $250 scholarships open to any member of Sound Girls that is attending or plans to attend an educational program in professional audio. There's no age requirement and includes college programs, trade schools, seminars, and workshops. These applications are open to all gender and non-conforming genders. They will be awarded in August and are open for applications right now until the end of July 31st. So get those apps in. Go to soundgirls.org to find out more about these scholarships. Soundgirls.org. Thank you all for listening to the Sound Girls podcast, Resonating Beyond Sound. We'll catch you next week when we talk to another amazing sound human. Have a great week, all.